Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education, regular public Board of Education meeting for May 2nd, 2017. I hear you. Call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, roll call, please.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Patani.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Hobbiter.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Mr. Warren?
Here.
Madison Detlinger? Carly Grogan? Christopher Driscoll?
Here.
Maura Farragher? We have a quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members or audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Number six, acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole and closed executive session of March 13, 2017, the regular public meetings of March 21, 2017, and the special action meeting and closed executive session of March 30, 2017. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reason for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Warren, second. Mr. Serino, any question on the minutes? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carrie.
Thank you. That brings us to number seven, our student board representative report. I will turn it over gladly to Mr. Driscoll.
Thank you. On March 17th, the sophomore and freshman classes hosted the annual sophomore semi-formal dance, and on March 24th, the junior class hosted the annual junior prom at the Waterview Pavilion. Last month, student council ran a line fundraiser for Mother's Day. Today, student council hosted a luncheon for Teacher Appreciation Week. We also started planning for the annual Mr. Manasquan pageant, which will be on June 1st. The senior class has continued planning for the senior trip. The senior class representatives have started planning our senior prom, which will be on June 9th, also at the Waterview Pavilion.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have a motion to accept the student representative report? Mr. Vitale, second. Mr. Catani, any questions about Mr. Driscoll's report? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carrie.
Thank you. That brings us to our presentations, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Cation.
Can you go to the podium, please?
I just want to thank the Board of Education for being cognizant and focusing on how important our students and the community is, and tonight's an example of that. And as we start tonight's presentations, we're going to start with a little video. We've been chosen at one of the international exchange schools by the Department of Homeland Security and CBIS. And having said that, we were asked to put on our website a virtual tour of Manasquan. And it really speaks to the excellence of education that's here at Manasquan. Because of the people sitting in the audience, because of our wonderful staff, our fabulous students, and the parents that help them out so greatly. Having said that, I want to start with the video. And when I push the button, the video will go on. Well, best laid plans with mice and men. Just try this. I picked the music by the way. So the international exchange students who are interested in Manasquan from China can reach out, go to that, and then see that and pique their interest in your wonderful, which is our community. So thank you for that. We're very fortunate to have raised the bar so high here that we've been recognized by the U.S. News and World Report as being the 61st school in New Jersey. Those rankings were decided, if you can see on the side of the page, what made us 61st. Students performed better than expected in their state. Disadvantaged students performed better than the state average. Student graduation rates meet or exceed a national standard, and students are prepared for college-level coursework. And the descriptions are on the bottom. You can go to U.S. News and World Report, and you can see the rankings. I'm very proud of the staff, the students, and the administration and their accomplishments. Wonderful things are happening here at Manasquan. And if we don't acknowledge them at board meetings, we don't acknowledge them out in public, people just don't know about them. And I just think it's fabulous. And I just want to thank everyone for this, because I think it's something that the whole community should be proud of. Manasquan Board of Education selects students of the month every month. And as we do that, I like to focus on what the criteria are. The students that we choose serve as role models for their peers. They are academically motivated. They're actually the best of the best. Students we have here are the best, and these students rise above. They demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, and they have a positive school attitude. They're involved in extracurricular activities, and they perform school and community service activities as well. Having said that, we also have chosen every month ELPS students of the month. We select these students by focusing on students who have achievements in school and community, have focused on fine arts, athletics, church and school, and community service. Their accomplishments have helped the community, and because of that, they are chosen every month as ELPS students of the month. Having said that, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the ELPS Special Child of the Year, Sophia Romano from grade 8. Sophia. Sabrina will check.
Thank you.
You can hold
okay,
it.
You can hold it.
Thank you for this recognition. I honor to be the special person of the year.
Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Student of the Month, Jack Hamilton, who's grade
8.
This way, Jack. You want, would you like to say something,
please? Oh, yeah. You want to sing a song?
Now that would be awesome. That's magic. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School Elks Student of the Month, Aaron Van Trace. Trace. Aaron, would like to congratulations, Aaron. Would you like to say something?
No, thank you.
Just be polite, Aaron. Would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Elf Teenager of the Month, Mary Grace Ioria. Mary Grace. I have a poem on the screen that I would like to read regarding teachers. It takes a special person to teach a child in class, to just keep his attention in a world that moves so fast. To show a child is unique, with talents deep inside, to help to build his confidence so he can beam with pride. Show a little patience for a child who lost his way, to a child who feels abandoned, who has seen better days. To inspire and motivate so a child can learn and grow, to go into this big wide world that has its highs and lows. You're a special person. You always give your best. For every child who has your class, your life is truly blessed. The Manasquan Board of Education let's congratulate our Teacher of the Month, Jenny Rostrum. Jenny could not be with us this evening because she's out on maternity leave, which is awesome. We're very fortunate to have many dedicated employees here at Manasquan. And I'm so proud to recognize the support staff employees of the year that we have here this evening. Confidence is the result of hours and days and weeks and years of constant work and dedication. I thought that particular quote, made famous by Roger Staubach, was very appropriate for this evening because the support staff doing such a wonderful job gives me confidence that our buildings are going to shine every day. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your hard work and dedication that you give us. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate you. Our support staff employee of the year from Manasquan Elementary School, Mary Deese. Mary. Mary, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure working for the school and with a wonderful staff and great students. I've seen a lot of them grow up, kindergarten on up, but it's a real joy to be part of such a beautiful school. Thank you.
Mary, as support staff person of the year, thank you for being such a dedicated and valuable employee. And here is your award.
Not over yet, man. Both support staff employees of the year this year, I've never seen not enjoying what they do or being busy. They're smiling, they're actively engaged, and they're always helping either staff or students. We are very, very, very fortunate to have them. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Support Staff Employer of the Year for Manasquan Elementary School, Harry Haight. Harry, congratulations.
Thank you.
There's nothing that I can ask either Mary or Harry to do that they'll always, just like that, Mary, you smile and you say yes, and you get it done. And that means a lot to them. Thank you very much.
Well, I just want to assure everybody that everybody's in good hands over there, staff and children. This is Graziano, Mr. Kirk running the show. They know what they're doing. They've been there a little while. You know? Everybody's on the right track.
Thank you. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our support staff employee of the year from Manasquan High School, Lucienne Serbo. Lucienne, are you here this evening? Okay. We have a resolution this evening authorizing the acceptance of a gift of $87,500 from the Charles Raffetto Estate for improvements to district facilities. I'm going to ask our board president, Mr. Pellegrino, if you could read the resolution.
Gladly. This is a resolution authorizing the acceptance of the gift of $87,500 from the Charles Raffetto Estate for improvements to district facilities. Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education, in accordance with its policy 7230, is authorized to accept gifts on behalf of the district. And whereas in accordance with the policy, the Board of Education will make every effort to honor the intent of the donor in the use of this gift. And whereas the Charles Raffetto Estate has offered a donation in the amount of $87,500 to place improvements on district property specific to the upgrading and refurbishing of the Manasquan High School's Media Center, included but not limited to new furniture. And whereas it is anticipated the dedication of these new improvements will be honor about the opening of Manasquan High School for the fall of 2017-18 academic year, at which time it would be appropriate to publicly acknowledge this donation by renaming this media center the Charles Raffetto Media Center. Now therefore be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education approves, authorizes, and accepts with thanks and much appreciation the gift of improvements from the Charles Raffetto Estate. Be it further resolved, the district professional staff take any and all actions necessary to effectuate the purpose of this resolution.
We have the resolution.
I do. So if I could ask the Raffetto family to please come forward and accept this framed resolution at this time. Come on in there.
Our family has been a part of the community for a long time, and we feel blessed. It's been many of us, all of us, attending Manasquan High School. We've been in Manasquan a long time, and we feel blessed to be part of this community. And we're grateful that we're able to thank the community for actually the use of the garden. I don't know if you know me off riding around on a bicycle, but the garden was important, and we just wanted to return a favor for the Board of Education for having the use of the garden. We're happy to be able to do this. Thank you very much.
We thought tonight was a great night to recognize the Raffetto family as we recognize the basketball team, because as the basketball team knows, the Raffetto family goes to every basketball game. So it was nice that we got both groups together and recognized them both at the same time.
We'd now like to congratulate varsity girls basketball team for the Group 2 state champions, B North Divisional Champions, head coach Lisa Kokoda, assistant coaches Luke Sinkhorn, Ryan McGrath, and Brennan Gordon. Just if I hit the button, will we have the video? If I hit the button twice. The opportunity to watch you play. It goes way beyond wins and losses. It was how you played, your tenacity, the concept of togetherness, the concept that I saw five players on the court playing like one, didn't matter who scored, then I watched the bench cheer you on as well. And you don't know the kick I got every morning after the game watching you guys walk into school.
truly are wonderful. I have a lot of highlights from being here. I know I'm going to be here in a short time, but one of the things I'll never forget is the night we passed the referendum, we had your game against Red Bank Catholic on the screen. And somebody who was a young sophomore, who I never really paid much attention to, steps up and hits a three at the buzzer, and you win the game. That night, the community also stepped up and hit a three at the buzzer as we passed the referendum. So it was a great night. I can't thank you enough for all the wonderful moments you've given me here at Manasquan. Thank you for that. Now as you come forward, we have some volley bucks for you, we have a picture, and we have a certificate of appreciation, and then hopefully we have some cake that you partake in. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to thank and congratulate our girls basketball team. From the team, Lola Mullane. Lola? Annie Heaton. Annie here tonight? Catherine Mahan. Catherine Misonis. Thank you. Congratulations. Dara Mabry. Dara. Stella Clark. Elena Hart. Carly Geisler. Carly, thank you. Congratulations. Nicolette Stevens. Maggie Kelly. Emma McMenamin. Victoria Galvin. Erin Chimesso. Manasquan Board would also like to congratulate Dara for being our 2016-2017 Gatorade New Jersey State Player of the Year for athletic excellence, academic achievement, and exemplary character. Congratulations. Now, let it be cake. Okay? Can't stand it. Take a 5-minute intermission to have some cake.
That brings us to our public hearing on the 2017-2018 budget. This will be presented by Dr. Cajun and Ms. Coates. And before we start, I just want to thank everyone, the administration on both sides of the street, the people in the business office, and everyone that contributed to helping assemble the budget. We realize as a board how difficult the process that can be, and we just we really appreciate the extra hours and the extra time that goes into it. And with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. As we focus on tonight's 2017-2018 budget, our first slide speaks to the current course offerings that we have and our anticipated staff changes. As you can see, we have some new offerings in regards to our AP program. And as we opened up tonight's meeting, we focused on our ranking. And I anticipate our ranking improving next year because of the new AP classes that we will be offering. In my five-year plan that I had, next year I wanted to focus on four new AP classes, a new academy, and the following year I had earmarked two new classes, and I see Colleen in the back, and Colleen and I have spoken about this, the concept of moving towards an international baccalaureate concept. Not so much the international baccalaureate, but a concept. And I think that would also bring us where Manasquan should be in regards to rankings and notoriety in the state. So I want to thank the Board of Education for affording us this opportunity. And you could also see the anticipated staff changes that we have. These are needs that need to be filled immediately, especially with our new voluntary random drug testing that will start next year. It will be very important for us to increase a part-time nurse to a full-time nurse in district. And I want to thank Colin, actually, because it was Colin Warren's idea to fill this year the grant writer, because we did such a great job with bringing in grants that helped us move forward with technology. Having one person dedicated to that is only going to help us financially. So academically, this is what's included in this year's budget. If we can go to the next slide, Lynn. We do have some major factors that impacted the proposed budget. We had some capital improvement needs, and one of the focuses that we had talked about as we put the new sod down on the field was adding a rubberized surface to the high school track. The high school track has been designed for practices twice a week. We're able to use Point Pleasant Beach's track, so we do have a full track to run on. However, our 440, our hurdles, our 100-yard dash, once we put the rubberized surface on the track, it can be utilized for practice. Can't have meets there, but at least the coaches can go out there and have a solid foundation to run on. The high school media center renovation, which we just spoke to tonight, I'm very excited about. We're responsible for carpets and painting in this area. We have some nice plans that the endowment is going to focus on for us. The alternative school, we had a three-year plan, which I'm trying to have done in a year this summer, and take the building that's out behind right next to our new press box and have it renovated so we can utilize that for classroom space. Because of the classrooms that we're losing, we needed three different spaces, and the Recreation Commission allowed us to use their building. The first aid building we have a lease with, so we can use that facility. And if we renovate, let's say this, when we renovate, because we will renovate it, when we renovate the alternate school this summer, we'll have our third classroom space. And then when the renovations are finished, we have another area either to designate for an academy and or a special education facility. Insurance premiums, as always, and out of school placements and transportation also impacted this year's budget. Now to Ms. Coates.
The 2017-2018 budget breakdown, the total budget is in the amount of $26.3 million, which is up $532,000 from the 16-17 revised budget. That's 2.06% over the current budget. The amount allocated for taxpayer relief from the fund balance is $216,738. Our administrative per pupil cost is $1,945, which is down from 1969 in the 16-17 budget. We need to stay as a school district below our regional limit of $2,040, which we are below. Our per pupil cost is $15,631, and that is up from $14,372. State aid accounts for only 2.33% of our budget, and this year, I mean, moving into 17-18 rather, there's no increase expected in state aid.
Manasquan is very unique in many ways. One of the ways it is unique is also in the budgeting process. Being a sending-receiving district, we have funds that are designated to the high school and funds that are designated to the elementary school. So Lynn and I like to ensure that the funds are appropriately spent on the side of the street that they're meant to be spent on. So this particular slide lends to that. As you can see, we have two graphs representing the high school estimated revenues at $14 million and change, and the elementary school estimated revenues, and where those funding sources come from. But I think it's very important for us to remember that we do have this unique financial situation in Manasquan, and sending district tuition is meant to be spent in the high school, and the taxes from Manasquan do go to the elementary school. And every year at this time, Lynn and I sit down and try to demonstrate that as simply as possible so we don't get convoluted, and that's what this is all about. You can go to the next. And then you have to look at the whole picture, and that's the whole picture, because we are one district. And that's where the general fund revenues are spent, as you see, from capital reserve to tuition reserve. And the graph on the also shows on the right-hand side a list of the percentages where everything goes. In case you can't actually see it in the pie chart, it's there. So I think it's important to understand as well, we are one district. If you go to the next one, please, Lynn. And now, Mrs. Coates.
So there's two pie charts here. These are our general fund appropriations, and as Dr. Cajun said, these are our estimated expenses for 17-18. The left-hand side illustrates the high school portion. The right-hand side illustrates the elementary school. And our budget is a spending plan. So for the 17-18 school year, this is how we expect the funds will be spent. And there is a note on the very bottom of the slide, I'm not sure if everyone can see, but it says the percentages noted above as compared to the total school amount, not necessarily the total district amount. So the percentages are per school. And you can look around the pie chart and you can see the instruction is 57% and 63% at the elementary school, the administration, extracurricular activities, capital outlay, benefits, maintenance, and operations. And they're all illustrated on those two pie charts.
From the pie chart, you saw that one area in blue regarding instruction. And here how that piece of the pie is impacting both the high school and the elementary school in regards to academics. As you can see, I alluded to before, the new AP classes that will be running next year. Also, a new sports and American culture class that I think will pique the interest of the students. Also, we have our ongoing academies and our new public service academy for next year. We have our continuation of the life skills program. And then on the bottom of the chart, you can see the academics from the elementary school. And the proposed budget affords us continuation of both the field hockey program and our tennis program. We have our STEM program continuing. And we also have the summer ESY programs for our special needs. We do have a new curriculum writing to ensure that the rigor in district and state expectations are being met, which I never had a doubt because we do such a great job with our PARC testing every year. So compliments to you on that. But this is going to give us a little bit of help here. And our Professional Development Academy has been flourishing since I'm here. Barbara Kerensky, as well as Colleen Graziano, I want to thank you for the things that we do with our staff, teaching our staff members. Can you go to the next slide, please, Lynn? And as usual, there's always discretionary funds versus fixed appropriations. And those things remain constant year by year. And you can see the expenses regarding fixed expenses of salaries and benefits of $22 million and change, and our discretionary expenses, which are, we realize we can only spend a dollar once, and we do it very carefully, and we're very frugal with that. At over $2 million. But this chart represents the total budget and how that money is being spent in regard to discretionary funds and fixed appropriations at over $25 million. Go to the next slide, please, Lynn. Thank you. Ms. Coates?
So the tax rate equation is the total tax levy divided by the assessed valuation, and that gives us the rate. You see our levy on the left divided by the assessed valuation. We expect our tax rate to be 0.007763 for 17-18. Per 100 of assessed value, that's 0.776. Down the bottom of the chart, you see the difference between the current rate and what we expect next year's rate to be, which is an increase of 0.023 or just over 3%. So the proposed tax impact based on those numbers, you can see 4 years comparison from 14-15 to 17-18, what the net valuation taxable was and is projected to be, and what the school tax rate history is for 4 years. That's what this slide illustrates. Calculating your annual school tax, you take the assessed value divided by 100, and you multiply that times the school tax rate. And below is an example. Our average residential assessment right now is $623,814. When you do that math, the school tax for that average home is $4,842.67. And here's a chart illustrating something very similar. You'll see in the middle of the chart that same amount, the same house, $623,814. The tax, school tax for that house, like I said, is $4,842. The annual increase on that average home is $145.35. That brings the monthly increase to $12.11. And you can see we have examples from 100 to 900,000 going down the left-hand column of the chart. So you could look, you know, you could do the math for your own home by using this chart. That is the end of our presentation for this evening. This presentation will be on our website tomorrow. I also would like to, before we close, I would like to thank the board, specifically the budget committee. We spent quite a few late afternoons, early evenings together with our meetings. I'd also like to thank the administration. And I would like to thank the business office, who both the administration and the business office staff, they are a huge support to me when we're going through this process, so thank you.
Questions? Thank you. That concludes our public presentation for this evening.
Prior to the budget presentation, we read a resolution to accept the gift. We need a motion to accept that resolution. So we're going to call that number 8. So do we have a motion to accept the resolution authorizing acceptance of the gift from the Raffetto estate? Mr. Hoover. Second. Ms. Pisano. Do we have any questions about the gift? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisano.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Hoover.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to number 9, our superintendent's report and information items. Dr. Cajun.
Sure enough. 1 minute. It is customary for us to focus on our enrollment in both the high school and the elementary school. Our total enrollment is 1,575. High school, 947 students as we speak. Elementary school, 628. Attendance comparison, fire drill reports, suspensions, and tardy reports. High school, on March 10th, we had a lockdown drill. On March 21st, we had a fire drill. The elementary school, March 1st, we had evacuation drill. On March 10th, we had a shelter-in-place drill. Both the high school and the elementary school met the statutory requirements according to the state of New Jersey. Regarding the harassment, intimidation, and bullying for the month report, the high school, we had 2 incidents. One was not a confirmed harassment, intimidation, bullying. One was. So we had 1 harassment, intimidation, bullying case at the high school. At the elementary school, we had 2 incidents that were investigated. Neither one were harassment, identified as harassment, intimidation, or bullying. Water testing results and the asbestos removal.
We just currently had our lead drinking water testing done in the high school and in the elementary school. In the high school and in the elementary school, we did have some areas that will be retested. We have a report that was prepared by PARS Environmental Incorporated from Robbinsville, New Jersey, that focused on 8 classrooms in the elementary school and I believe 30 sites, not actually classrooms, Lynn, in the high school, of which we had the water turned off and we had the company from Ocean Township come and put water dispensers in both schools?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Water coolers are in both schools.
Yeah, how many would we have? I thought we have 20 the last time I looked, but they said there were going to be more.
We delivered 20 the first week.
Yeah.
Because so many of the locations in the high school were in the science labs. There's 6 sinks in every classroom. So actually there were 31 locations in the high school. It seems like a high number, but it really isn't. Not 31 classrooms, because multiple sinks in some of the science labs tested positive. So 10 was more than sufficient for the high school. We actually have, I believe, a few spare.
Were any of them drinking fountains?
There were no water fountains, like in the hallway water fountains.
Okay.
There was a bubbler in the elementary school, but Mr. Kirk confirmed with us that day that the students do not drink out of it. It was in a classroom, but the students do not drink out of it.
Okay.
We do have some areas being retested because of the recommendations of the PARS Environmental, and they were back and they retest the water, and they were developing a plan of action in order to move forward with a filtering system for both the elementary school and the high school to ensure that those levels never reach a point where we have to be concerned about it again. Questions about that at all?
I had a question.
Hmm?
I was a little confused about this. I thought wasn't last year the first time we did testing and we were mandated to, and that came up as no lead, or was that earlier this year? I don't remember, but
they changed the mandate on how many locations you have to test. So last year everything was fine.
So we didn't do the whole district last year.
Correct. I would consider what we did last year as a spot check. Once we were aware that there were water issues.
Okay. So when we did the spot check, there was no lead at that time.
They all tested fine. They were below the 15 parts per billion. That's the threshold.
Okay.
Yes.
And now this new one is the entire district.
The regulations came out and they told us exactly what needed to be tested. So basically we had a retest to fall within the guidelines is what we had to do.
Okay.
As a district. Many districts did the spot testing like we did, but they didn't go, you know, the full length testing every single outlet. And when the regulations came out in print, you know, we saw that we needed to retest.
And what do they do to, in the plan of action, to get rid of the lead? What's done? Is the water treated or pipes replaced?
The recommendation by PARS right now is to retest the areas that came in higher than 15 parts per billion. And then they're going to look at that number. And then we're going to develop a corrective action plan for each of the areas on the retest, what areas came in high. And it could be a combination of filters, replacing faucets, replacing piping to the wall. Like for example, the high school science labs, the number of sinks that tested high, our plan right now under the referendum project is to completely demo those rooms. So right now the valve is off, the signs are posted, do not drink, there's no water coming through those faucets. But knowing that we're going to demolish those rooms to renovate them, I mean, how much, you know, would you really go to the expense to start replacing right now faucets and piping, because those rooms will be renovated. So you will definitely hear more information from Dr. Kasia and I as this unfolds. The letter with all of the locations was posted on the district's website, and that was mandatory within 24 hours. The document that Dr. Kasia referenced when he first started speaking, that's also posted on the district website, along with the full testing. It's basically an Excel spreadsheet for each school that is also posted on the district website.
Excellent.
Thank
you.
So anyone can go to the website and view the results for themselves.
Thank you.
Regarding the asbestos question, There was a pre-bid investigation for asbestos-containing materials and mercury vapor that may be impacted by the scheduled addition and renovations to the Manasquan High School. And on the agenda, item 30 tonight, from Manasquan Sending District's general items, you'll be voting on. The cost to ensure that any types of asbestos that are found, we remove. Also, in that agenda item, we have the best asbestos statement and disposal at Manasquan Alternative School crawl space in accordance with NJAC 523-8, and the estimated cost is there. What we found in the crawl space is asbestos, and we could have encapsulated it or we could have removed it, along with a portion of the dirt that's underneath the crawl space. So we decided, Lynn and I, that the best we could do would be to remove it all together. So that's what we're talking about, asbestos. And when you have old buildings that you're renovating, it's just a matter of course that you have to see if there's asbestos there. And if it is, I would like to have it removed if we can. Sometimes you can't and you have to have it encapsulated. This particular time with the alternate school, we're going to have it removed. And that will be done in the first week in June, so we can go on with the alterations of that building for July, so it's up and ready for September. So when we talk about asbestos, everybody gets excited about that. But when you have a building project of the scope that we're having, and you have a building that was built in 1931, if that date's correct, you're bound to find some, like we found, or even though the elementary school wasn't built in 1931, we found some asbestos in the caulking in the windows, and we stopped construction right away, and we had that taken out, and we had an asbestos company there to ensure that as we take the windows out, they check and we put the windows back in so everything's safe. But you're doing a great job with that. So that's why I felt it was important that if we're going to talk about water testing tonight, we also spoke about asbestos, because when people hear asbestos, they get very upset. It's just a matter of the building procedures and processes that we're doing right now, and it's under control. Questions? As is the water filtering system that we're putting into place. Unless I've forgotten something, that concludes my superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report? Mr. Cattani, second. Mr. Warren, any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Cattani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
That brings us to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited amount of time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment of the portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items that are included in this agenda only, please. Would anybody from the public like to be heard?
I'm not going to ask any questions about the rehire list. I understand I'm not right for you guys. But I just want to make a statement on behalf of Corey Schnebel. Because he was informed very recently that he was going to be non-renewed this year. As an employee of our district for 8 years, his work really does speak for himself. He's quite accomplished in our district and is an integral member of the grounds department and the custodial department as a whole. I wasn't sure if his response to the personnel evaluation was included in your binders this evening, which is the reason why I did attend. In the event that you are not going to be given the opportunity to see his response to his evaluation, I did feel that it was pertinent to understand that he has responded to every aspect of the evaluation. And I think there's just some main points that you should be aware of. As a Board of Education, you know, just do your due diligence in this whole process and maintain the integrity of the process as a whole. First of all, Mr. Schemble was placed on probation, and the probation was extended. Included in the letter extending the probation was mention of something called a, let me make sure I get this right, it was a performance improvement plan. I need for you guys, or I'd like for you guys to understand that he was never given a performance improvement plan that is similar to the action plan that any teacher would be placed on if there was an issue with our teaching, classroom management, or what have you. Similarly, for a secretary or other support staff, they would be given an improvement plan. Myself, as co-president of the MEA, would be CC'd on such a document. Such a document has not been presented to me. So at this time, I did feel it was important for you to understand that this probation was extended without actually outlining the areas for improvement that the supervisor was seeking. In addition to the areas of improvement, he should have been also informed on the ways that he was going to be assessed on that improvement. And similarly, it should have been a quantitative, not a subjective process. And that should have been explained blatantly on that performance improvement plan. The improvement plan was then again mentioned in his final evaluation. Again, there has been no improvement plan presented to him. So unfortunately, while I think the intent of that plan would have been to assist him in improving in whatever aspects he was supposed to, it never occurred. I'm not going to go into the entire rebuttal. Like I said, it is available. We did present it to Dr. Cation and to Mr. Place this afternoon. I apologize for, you know, the tardiness to that response. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you that was that his probation was over on April 1st. We attempted to make a meeting with the supervisor to discuss the completion of the probation period and move forward in the right direction. Unfortunately, we were unable to schedule a meeting despite several attempts by not only Mr. Schnebel, but also the MEA co-presidents. We were not able to get a meeting scheduled, and he was presented with his personnel evaluation last week, so on Monday. So, you know, in working with Mr. Schnebel and having him meet with other NJEA representatives, he was explained his options, and the rebuttal was turned in today. So I just wanted to, you know, like I said, I'm not gonna ask for any questions or ask for any response from you, but I really did feel that for you to do your due diligence, you needed to have some background information there. Thank you so much, and I hope that you consider all the aspects of this. We do have available copies of the rebuttal if anybody needs it. But again, I understand if we were simply too late, given the time restraints.
Thank you, Ryan.
Now, just with regard to process, under New Jersey statutes and board policy, and it might even be a provision in the collective bargaining agreement, the procedure that's supposed to be followed when someone's noticed of a non-renewal is there would be a request for a statement of reasons, followed by a request perhaps for a Donaldson hearing before the Board of Education. So I'm not sure that what you just presented falls under any of those procedural requirements under the statute, under the case law, or under board policy. And as you correctly stated, the board's not going to be commenting or taking any questions or answering any questions with regard to anybody's employment status. I just want to make sure that I understand and are clear that Mr. Schnebel was provided a Rice notice for this evening.
Yes.
It is also my understanding that he did not waive his right of confidentiality. That's correct. So the board will be discussing, if it so desires and if it has anything to discuss this evening, in executive session.
Yes.
He has not waived his right to confidentiality.
I was not sure
so to put
the evaluation, that was the only thing that I was speaking to.
Well, that would be at the appropriate time during the Donaldson hearing.
I know.
Well,
and that's all fine. I'm
okay.
Responding only to agenda items and I'm not asking for anything in return other than just an open ear.
Thank you.
Thank you for the explanation.
Anyone else? Seeing no one, that brings us to the Manasquan general items. Do we have a motion for, does anyone need anything separated out in items 11? Through 28. Items 11 through 28?
Through
28. 11 to 28, correct. Seeing no one, do we have a motion for items 11 through 28? Ms. Pacella, anyone? Second? Mr. Lufredo, any questions on 11 through 28?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything in the Manasquan Sending District general items separated out in items 29 through 37? 29 to 37? So no one, do we have a motion for 29 through 37? Mr. Vitale, second?
Yes.
Ms. McGarry, any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Thank you. That move brings us to number 38, old and new business. Does anyone have any old business they would like to discuss? Ted.
Just one thing. The presentation that we had at the last board meeting concerning the school report card. Right?
The park testing. The after effect.
I should have asked a question prior, so forgive me for asking it now. Some of the results and the way that I interpreted the conversation, some of the results were due to a comparison in terms of different schedule, block scheduling versus.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And
when they take the test, yeah, okay. So. Is it our intent to look at the block scheduling to see if block scheduling is the most effective method of scheduling here?
That's a good question. Yes, please.
I think that block scheduling, in regards to its implementation as we speak. I mean, can be looked at. We have looked at it. We had a scheduling committee to look at it. We also had Mayor and Bloom come in. We paid to look at it. And it was decided that we put that on hold until the renovations are finished. In regards to affording students a period of time, I think the 77 minutes that we have is sufficient for instruction. And I think that our staff has been doing a great job with that. I don't see us changing that. I do see us trying to afford students the opportunity to take an extra class somehow, if that means in developing a budget. And I've spoke to the board about this before. I'd like to see some lower class sizes as well as more teachers. But it's hard to do all those things. And again, we have to do things incrementally when you're having a building project done and you're losing space. So if you're just talking about the efficiency and effectiveness of the period of time that we call a block and the way it's scheduled, I think it is efficient and it is effective. However, can we do a better job in regards to maybe having a fifth teaching block and doing different things with lunch periods? I think so.
But and the reason I asked the question, there was some concern on our board that you know, the block scheduling might be changed in its entirety, and
no.
I just wanted to want to reaffirm.
Yeah, not me.
Okay.
And I know you're not too confident with that, not me, because my August 1st date is rapidly approaching.
Right.
But I don't think that would be effective nor efficient for this community. For 8 years, you've done that well. But I do think it can be tweaked, and I think you could do that with the lunch periods differently and having an extra class.
Okay.
So.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking that question. Yeah.
I have a question about the block schedule.
Sure.
And I think I remember years ago this discussion had come up about block scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember them saying it, in high school block scheduling is really good because once they go to college, it's usually block scheduling. That's how they do their...
Well, we have longer periods at the secondary level, yes.
Right. So it kind of helps them to transition into college.
The biggest problem with block scheduling is staff, not students.
Right.
Students acclimate. And you've already reached that. You've built that bridge. You've been doing block scheduling for 8 years. Teachers now have their lessons built for that time frame, so it's not a problem here. Our teachers do a good job with that. So, but as I said, I think it can be tweaked. Park testing, sometimes students take that test when they haven't covered the material properly, only because of the nature of how things are set up. So I think we can take a look at that, maybe do that a little bit better. And as I said, I'd like to see the lunch periods looked at. And it's not a surprise to anybody out there. I'm a proponent of that singleton lunch concept, having one lunch during the day and then affording students the opportunity to have five periods during the course of the school day instead of having that one period broken up at lunch. And that gives them an extra class. Now, as a board and as an administration, we have to talk about what does that mean? What does that extra period mean? Does that mean new staff? Does that mean smaller class size? And that's a very rich discussion that you not only have with me, but you have with staff, and you also have with administrators. So I think that, again, as you're moving to be focused more on the concept of excellence in education, I think that'll make for a very good discussion. But as far as I'm concerned, I think block is the most effective and efficient way for instruction in this district. And we looked at it at length, so I'm not looking to take that away at all. That wasn't the reason for the Marion Bloom coming here.
Anyone else? Old or new business? That brings us to our second public forum. Would anybody like to be heard from the public on any items, agenda, or otherwise? Seeing no one. Number 40, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrow Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act, provides the Manasquan Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. Whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege, and that is in reference to a bid award and contract. Number 8, personnel matters in reference to hirings, retirements, and leaves of absence. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action this evening when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Lafredo, all those in favor?
Aye.
Red folders, please. Quickly, please. Motion to reconvene. Mr. Hovind, second. Mr. Warren, all those in favor?
Aye.
And that brings us to number 41, actually, the Manasquan personnel item. Do we have a motion to recommend approval of the elementary school personnel as per document O? I think that's O and not zero, all right? Document O. Ms. Pisone, second. Mrs. DePalma, any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Pisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Hobler.
Yes.
Mr. Libretto.
Yes.
Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Manasquan Sending District's item, number 42 through 44. Does anybody need anything separated out in 42 through 44? We have a motion for 42 through 44. Mr. Lafredo, second. Ms. Pisone, any questions on any of these three items? Sandy.
Mrs. Pisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Hovind.
Yes.
Mr. Libretto.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carry.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. McGarry? Anybody want to stay? Go ahead.
I'm going to watch the Devils.
See ya.
See ya.